This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for another broadcast of the Pastor's Study. Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to be discussing the topic of soul winning. In our passage for our study is going to be found in Luke chapter number 5 in verses 18 through 20. But before we begin our study here on the Pastor's Study concerning soul winning, let's talk to God for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we have to fellowship together around thy holy word, the authorized version 1611 King James Bible. Father, I pray you'd bless our listeners today that are listening. I pray you'd give them teachable spirits and teachable hearts today. Father, we thank you for the good people of WGCR there in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. We pray you'd bless that radio ministry of Anchor Baptist Church, Father. Bless Pastor Barton and his family and the ministry there. Bless the staff at WGCR that make this broadcast possible. Father, I pray that you'd loosen my lips and give me the liberty to preach. I pray if there's a lost sinner listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the very day that they would fall out with sin and fall in love with the Savior, because to receive Him is to receive life eternal, Father. We'll remember to give you all the honor and glory for whatever you'll choose to do this day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Luke chapter 5 with me, if you would. Luke chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 18 through 20. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. When they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him, and when they could not find but what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven. From our passage, we want to learn or glean three things about soul winning. First, we're going to look at the method of soul winning. Second, we'll look at the means of soul winning. And then finally, we'll look at the manner of soul winning. So let's look first of all here at the method of soul winning. Notice in verse 18, the Bible tells us, and behold, men brought a man, brought in a bed a man. The man in our passage, of course, has palsy, which is a physical ailment. He's unable to walk. And what this is a picture, a type of spiritually, amen, is a sinner's spiritual condition. A man that is spiritually dead. A man that doesn't know Jesus Christ personally, that's never called upon his name, amen, that's never repented of his sins and asked Jesus to save them, is dead in trespasses and sin, the Bible tells us. We see then that God uses men to bring other men to Jesus, does he not? And this has been God's method since time began. My dear friend, God doesn't use machines, he uses men. And what kind of men does he use? He uses ordinary men, amen? Notice in verse 18 what it doesn't say. It does not give us any special description of the men that brought this man with the palsy to Christ. You see, then, the emphasis is not on the men, but on their activity. It doesn't say that these men had any specific extraordinary talents or ability. It doesn't say they were great orators. It doesn't say they were well-educated. It didn't say they were wealthy and powerful. It didn't say they were pastors. It didn't say they were deacons. It didn't say they were great evangelists or great teachers. It didn't say they were graduates of some great soul-winning seminar. No, it simply says, and behold, men brought in a bed a man. In other words, they were just ordinary men, amen? If you think about it for a minute, most of the apostles were rough and tough and unlearned commercial fishermen. Then we have Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector, a white-collar worker for the IRS, amen? The apostles were just ordinary men. The prophet Amos, we're told, was a herdsman, but God used him. The prophet Jeremiah described himself as a child. Jeremiah said in chapter 1 of Jeremiah, verses 4 through 10, Jeremiah said, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set over the nations, and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Jeremiah said, I am a child, but God used him, amen. Paul the Apostle, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived, before he was saved, had some impressive credentials. According to the Word of God, in Philippians chapter 3, in verses 4 to 7, we read, Paul talks about his credentials before he was saved. Paul says, Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. You see, God could not use Paul until he broke Paul. Amen? See, even though Paul had these great credentials, this great pedigree as far as his upbringing, his learning, amen, his religion, God couldn't use him in that condition. God had to break him. In other words, God had to make Paul an ordinary man. And we see Paul's testimony of this. We see Paul's testimony of God breaking him and being able to use him. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 12, in verses 9 through 11, we read, And he said unto me, This is the Lord speaking to Paul now. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong, Paul said. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Notice in verse 11, Paul said, though I be nothing. My dear friend, when you and I get to the point that we can say, though I be nothing, then God can use you and I. The Bible tells us that Moses was slow of speech, but despite that, God used him. You see, the principle found in the Word of God, who God uses to preach the gospel of grace, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 17 through 18. Paul wrote, for Christ sent me not to baptize. And by the way, this is a great verse of scripture to give to those that are counting on their water baptism to save them, amen. For Christ sent me not to baptize, Paul said, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. God uses the foolishness of preaching to get the job done, amen. God uses ordinary men and women like you and I to bring men to Christ. And this is according to the Word of God. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 26 to 29, Paul tells us, he says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. In the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught nothing that are. And the reason God did this is that no flesh should glory in his presence. I'm a foolish thing, amen. I'm a foolish thing. And God uses me, and he can use you to confound the wise. I'm a weak thing. If you're a weak thing and a foolish thing, then God can use you to do his work. And the reason he uses the foolish and the weak things is that no flesh should glory in his presence, amen. The only abilities that you need to be used of God to bring men to Christ is desirability, availability, and dependability. Amen? God continues to use men to sow the seed and draw the net. Amen? Also, one of the method of soul winning, we want to notice in verse 18, of Luke chapter 5, he says, and behold men. Notice it says men, plural, and not a man, singular. And in fact, the account of the same incident that's found in Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 2 and verse 3 tells us the man with the palsy was born by four men, by four. What this shows you and I is it takes usually more than one individual to win a lost soul to Christ. You and I must remember that we are not in competition to win souls. It's not a game. It's serious business, amen? You see, in this case, one man could not do the job alone. One man could not carry this man alone. This particular lost soul needed four. And we must remember, the winning of souls is a team effort. And we must encourage and exhort one another to win souls. You know, soul winning can be discouraging at times, and the flesh, let me tell you, hates to do it. For example, did you ever get a door slammed in your face, amen, when trying to talk to someone about the Lord? Did you ever give someone a gospel tract and have them rip it up in your face and throw it on the ground? And maybe even probably shouted something, some kind of profanity at you, amen? You know, rejection. Rejection is what I'm talking about. None of us human beings like to be rejected, amen? But in soul winning, there must be cooperation. Amen. In the right spirit must exist. Paul talked about this very thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 6 through 9. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, God gives the increase. We do the work. If we're faithful to the work, then God will give the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Again, Paul reminds us, it's not who's planting and who's watering is anything, it's God. God is the major ingredient. Without God, nothing's going to happen. Amen? You can plant and water all you want, but without God's intervention, without God's convicting Holy Spirit, nothing's going to happen. Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Notice, laborers together. The reason that the man in Luke 5 with the palsy was brought to Jesus was because that four that carried him were laborers together, amen. If they were in competition with one another, that man would have never come to Jesus. You know, we have a lot of churches today, amen, that's all they're boasting about is how many souls they won to Jesus, which isn't bad in themselves, although some of the methods of winning souls to Christ are very questionable, amen. But it shouldn't be one of competition. It should be one of cooperation. Laborers together. You're not in competition with your brother and sister in Christ, amen. There should be a spirit of cooperation. And remember, it's God that gives the increase. God's the main ingredient, amen. So number one, we've looked at the method to soul winning. Number two, we want to look at the means to soul winning. The means. Notice again in verse 18 it says, and they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before him. Notice the word means is plural. They sought to bring this man to Jesus by more than one fashion. They probably first tried to bring him through the front door, but it was too crowded. Maybe the next they tried the window, but that didn't work. Finally, they broke up the roof and lowered him down, amen. But what we want to notice is they did not give up after the first means or way available was cut off, amen. They kept trying. They tried one way. When they found it wasn't open, then they tried another until they accomplished their goal or objective. And this is also true in soul winning. There is only one way for a person to be saved, and that's by grace through faith and the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Amen? However, there are many means to bring men to Christ. For example, the preaching service. Amen. The preaching service. That's to be the most prevalent thing in a church service. Amen. Not the singing, not the music, although that's important. That prepares the hearts to hear the Word of God, receive the Word of God, but the preaching service, amen. Then also another means of bringing men to Christ is the Sunday School program, amen. We reach the adults through the children. A cable ministry, amen. A cable ministry. A lot of towns have public access cable that will play a church service or a preaching service or a teaching lesson, amen. Also a radio ministry, like as this radio ministry that I have at our church and through the support of the local church, that this radio ministry on WGCR is able to go forth, amen, the pastor's study. Also gospel tract distribution, amen. Giving out gospel literature, amen. Supporting missionaries is very important. Missionaries are the lifeblood of the church, amen. Personal witnessing. Just because we support missionaries doesn't mean we're left off the hook, amen, and the missionaries do the soul winning. No, we're still accountable before God to do personal work or personal witnessing, amen. Going to the nursing homes, amen. People in the nursing homes are those that are closest to stepping through the door of eternity, amen. And they're going to either spend eternity in a lake of fire, amen, or a home in heaven with Jesus. Won't you go? Prison ministries, amen. A lot of our prisoners are forgotten, amen, or don't want to be dealt with. But there's another place for us to reach, to bring men to Christ, amen. The main thing is to go, amen. It's important to remember, we are to use whatever means available to bring the lost to Christ as long as we do not compromise on the Word of God, amen. If it's in the Word of God, amen, it's not against the Word of God, amen, then you can use it. In other words, I do not believe that we should save the lost at any cost, amen. You know, dress like them to win them, amen. Or do something to be like them so we can have a rapport. No, I think we should do and not compromise on the things of God. Whatever available, whatever means is available, and it doesn't compromise on the Word of God, you get a green light, amen. We must follow the examples given in Scriptures. And of course, Jesus is our greatest example for everything, including soul winning, amen. For example, Jesus in John chapter 4 did one-on-one witnessing with a woman at a well using an ordinary conversation about water and turning the conversation into a discussion on spiritual matters. Paul the Apostle witnessed by giving his personal testimony of his conversions to individuals like King Agrippa, you know, the famous and the powerful, and the Philippian jailer, and also preaching not only his personal testimony one-on-one, but Paul also preached the gospel of grace of God to crowds, amen. We also see that Jesus sent out his disciples two by two to witness. See, we don't need to buy people to get them in the church by giving away clowns and or having clowns to attract them and balloons and hamburgers and hot dogs, amen. No, we don't. The means of soul winning, my dear friend, as long as it's in the Word of God and it doesn't compromise on the Word of God, then we're free to use it. So we've seen the method of soul winning so far, the means of soul winning. Now lastly, we want to look at the manner of soul winning. Looking in verse 19 with me. Verse 19 of Luke 5. And when they could not find but what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. What we want to see is how the men that carried the man with palsy were persistent in their endeavor. They were persistent. They were diligent. They tried to get the man one way to Jesus, but were blocked. They tried another way, but were blocked again, but didn't quit, amen. Finally, they tore the roof off the house and lowered the man down to Jesus. And you may ask, well, why were they so persistent? Why were they so persistent? Because they knew that Jesus was the only one who could help this man. Amen. So too are we as Christians to be persistent in soul winning. Don't give up. Try every door. Be persistent. Why? Because only Jesus can save the lost sinner. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Just as those men knew that only Jesus could heal this man, and that's why they were so persistent in bringing this man to Jesus Christ, so aren't we to be persistent to bring the lost sinner to Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can save them from their sins and prevent them from going to hell and spending time and eternity in a lake of fire. Amen. Don't give up. Be persistent in your soul winning. Remember the promises found in the Word of God. Psalm 126, in verses 5 through 6, we're promised, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. See, you've got to have the right heart attitude when you go out soul winning. Are you going out soul winning to impress man or your pastor or one of your brothers and sisters in Christ? No, you should sow in tears. You should be going out with a burdened heart, because you know the people are dying and going to hell every second of every day. They're stepping through eternity, the door of eternity, and spending time in eternity forever and ever in a lake of fire. Amen. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. That's the word of God. That's why it's so precious. Amen. That's how man is redeemed, not by corruptible things, but by uncorruptible, by the word of God. Amen. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So we're promised, if you go out with a burdened heart for lost souls, if you go forth weeping, amen, bearing the word of God, witnessing, that someday you'll come rejoicing, bringing those that are lost to Christ with you. And of course, we're reminded in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, my dear friend, for in a due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we quit, if we don't quit, God says you just keep on keeping on and not grow weary in well-doing, and he promises that you'll reap. Amen. As we conclude today on the pastor's study, don't let rejection stop you from witnessing. Remembering, probably the person you are witnessing to is hearing the truth about his or her soul for the first time. And you know it hurts. You know, the Bible, we're told, is a two-edged sword, and it cuts sometimes as well as heals. It's better to risk rejection, be it a door slammed in your face, or a gospel tract ripped up, or whatever it may be, than for a person to spend eternity in hell, amen? Remember, my dear friend, you may be that person's only roadblock to hell. We've seen today on the pastor's study the method of soul winning. God still uses men to bring other men to Christ. The means of soul winning uses any way, use any way available, as long as it doesn't compromise on the word of God. And the manner of soul winning, be persistent, amen. Don't quit, because God promises we shall reap if we faint not. Well, that's all the time we have on the pastor's study. This is Brother Gino, again, thanking each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor's study. I pray that you'll continue to listen, amen. Drop me a line at the address that the people of the good station will give you at the end of this broadcast. And until we meet again on the pastor's study, may God richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.